Well, I'm sorry that we were not able to have camp this year, but I understand that the theme is going to be based around prayer. So I have been asked to speak on importunity in prayer. You know, there's something wonderful about prayer. Prayer is the lifeline of the soul. And when you turn to Matthew chapter 14, we get a wonderful picture of that. Matthew chapter 14. And we'll start reading in verse 27. Jesus is walking on the sea, and the disciples see him, and they're troubled. And then Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But he saw the wind boisterous, and he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" So prayer was the lifeline of Peter's right here. He was beginning to sink, and he cries out to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, save me or I perish." And Jesus reached out his hand and delivered him from drowning in those waves. And you know, sometimes it feels like in life that we're sinking in deep mire, and the waves have just come over our head, and we're sinking down. And what do? We cry out to the Lord, and he delivers us. Prayer is the lifeline of our soul. You know, I'm so thankful that God hears prayers. When we look back over our lives, even in this last year, we just see so many answered prayers that God has given us such a tremendous blessing of answered prayers. You know, tomorrow is June the 15th, and God has blessed my wife for 1 year and 1 month tomorrow to not only have life, but to have such a wonderful quality of life. Now that's the answer of prayer. God has done that. God has just poured out upon our lives and this church's life so many wonderful blessings of answered prayer. I thank God for it. I give him all the praise and the glory tonight for all these wonderful prayers that he's answered. And so when you turn to the 11th chapter of the book of Luke, we find the word importunity used in this 11th chapter of Luke. So we'll start reading at verse 1. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." And so it's remarkable that Jesus, teaching these disciples to pray, says the most important thing is not for our needs, but what does he put first? He puts first the kingdom of God and the will of God, and then after God's concerns comes our daily bread and the things that we need. And so what a wonderful example that is he's given us. And too much of the time, I'm afraid, we're focused on ourselves and not on the glory of the Lord. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And so here the word importunity is just simply talking about persistent prayer that we keep on asking. We don't quit. We don't give up. Again, there's another example of that set forth in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Jesus spake this parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not, what's the word? Faint. Not to faint. Not to give up. Not to just sort of wilt down when God doesn't first answer our prayers. But that we have some persistence in our prayer life. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So here's a lesson to teach us persistence in prayer. That we're to be troublesome to the point, praying to the point of troublesome before God. She became a shameless beggar. And that's another way to translate the word importunity, that we become a shameless beggar. And so God hears prayers. We know that from various scriptures, from Psalm 34 and in verse 17, it says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. God hears our prayers. Proverbs 15 and 19. We can be assured of that. 15:19 says, the way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns. That's not the one I want. Anyway, I wrote it down wrong. But it's talking about, again, how the Lord hears his people's prayers. And so, if God hears our prayers, and according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. If God hears our prayers, and God knows what we need before we ask, then why do we need to be persistent in our prayers? Well, the reason is because God wants to see in our life a sincerity and heartfelt desire in what we are asking for. And so importunity reveals that. It brings out whether my desire and what I'm asking for is really heartfelt and sincere before the Lord. And it pleases God. Importunity brings out our faith. And you know what the Scriptures say about that. The first is found in James chapter 1 and in verses 6 and 7. Faith, so vitally important in our whole life of prayer. And this is what James says, James 1, 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So we need persistence in our prayer life, and we need faith in our prayer life. And there's one other element that's also so vitally important, and that is a true humility to come before the Lord. And so I want to show you that from Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. We must have persistence, and we must have faith, and we must have a humble heart. So now in Matthew chapter 15, and in verse 21 it says, Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So here's a Gentile woman, not an Israelite. Her daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And she heard that Jesus Christ had come to town. And she immediately sought him out. Her need was great. Her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. And yet as she came to Jesus, he did not answer her one word. And then when he did answer her, he said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now for a lot of people, maybe myself included, that rebuff would probably be enough to send me away. But oh, not this woman. This woman had a great need. Her little girl was grievously vexed with the devil. And what did she do? Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now, if you've never groveled at somebody's feet, then you see it going on right here. That this woman fell down at the feet of Jesus and she was pleading with him and begging him and beseeching him for help. Persistence in prayer. But he answered and said, It is not me to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, in my mind, that's what he's calling her, in essence, is a dog, a Gentile dog. And yet she was not offended with that, because here's true humility. that she fell at his feet because she had an urgent need. She said, "Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." I tell you what great faith that was. And even Jesus recognized that, for he says in the next verse, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Isn't that great? Oh, what a wonderful, compassionate God we serve in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he heard this woman's plea and he answered it, because her humility was great, her faith was great, and her persistence would not let go of Jesus Christ. You know, we've got another example in the Old Testament of persistence in prayer. It's found in that 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 32. Jacob is going home, and he's not sure what he's going to find when he gets home. Because when he left home, his brother had sworn to kill him. Now 20 years have gone by. They don't have cell phones back then, or they don't have internet connections, and so they can't look at Facebook and see what's going on in Esau's life and all his children like people can do today. So he had no idea of what was going on in Paddan Aram where he left home. But listen now, verse 4 of Genesis 32. And Jacob sent messengers, verse 3, before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee." But that was not the scary part to Jacob. What he says next was the scary part. "And 400 men with him." Now you get to thinking about that and you wonder, why in the world would he need 400 men? And your mind just starts conceiving all kinds of terrible things. And it is, what else would he be coming for but to fulfill the vow he gave when I left home? He's coming to kill me. He's coming to wipe out all that I have. "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands, and said, If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." Oh, how all of us can look at our lives and see how God has so tremendously blessed us as well, as he blessed Jacob. And we too can say, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which he showed unto his servant. How true that is. And so he comes down and he pleads with the Lord, "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children, and thou saidst, oh, the promises of God, that's what we lead, that's what we live on, that's what leads us in life, is the promises of God. God said it. We believe it. And that settles it. Notice what he says. You said it, Lord. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And so he fell back upon the promise of God. And so, my dear brethren, when you find yourself in great straits, great difficulties, you're distressed as this man was distressed, where do you go? The only place you can go, and that is to the Lord, and lean upon all the promises that He's given you in prayer. And keep pleading them. Keep being persistent with them. Keep doing what He's fixing to do right now. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats. And so he separated all these animals. He sent one of his wives with a group on. He sent some more. And so he lodged there himself alone that night. In verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And they said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And so God changed this man's name from Jacob to Israel, meaning a prince with God who had power and prevailed. And my dear brethren, that's the whole point of persistence and importunity in prayer, is that we lay hold of God just like He laid hold of this man, who I think was probably the Lord Jesus Christ in one of His early appearances in human form, and wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And he changed his name because God had given him power to prevail in prayer. And he got what he wanted, and that was deliverance for himself and his family. Isn't it beautiful to have a persistence in prayer? To wrestle with this God. You know, God could, He could just squash us like a bug. He's so great. But He loves for us to come and plead with Him and wrestle with Him and be persistent in our seeking Him. It gives Him great joy and delight to see His people really seek Him, long for Him, love Him, and pray to Him with such a persistence in their prayers. So may the Lord bless you, and may your prayer life become more wrestling with God and importunate in all you ask for, is my prayer.